Dear listener, this is part two of the Fika bank heist. If you have not listened to part one, please go back to episode 8. Thank you. Alfred and Charles grew up in Karura, a sleepy village in Madhira constituency, Nyeri County. In Karura, majority of the resident young men joined the boda boda taxi business to make ends meet, and majority of the women spend their days farming. Their mother recalled that the two brothers had a passion for reading and were inseparable. They were introverts who preferred staying indoors to read instead of going out to play with other children. Quote, they came home and studied together. They read anything they could find in the house and kept each other company, said Ms. Nyaguthi. Quote, people often asked me if they were twins because they did everything together, including walking to and from school, end quote, she recounted. According to school records, Halford and Charles were extremely bright students. Halford completed his Kenya Certificate of Primary Education, KCPE, examinations in 1999 and was admitted to Nyeri High School, an academic giant in the area, which has continuously received regional, national, and international recognition in various co-curriculum fields. In 2001, Charles, the younger brother, also completed his KCPE exam and scored 397 marks out of 500. His mother recalled, quote, he was so upset with his performance that he decided to repeat the entire year, determined to do better on the exam, end quote. In 2002, Charles did much better and emerged the best student with 409 marks out of a possible 500, a school record that is yet to be broken. Charles was also admitted to Nyeri High School in 2003 and was extremely happy to be joining his brother. According to their mother, the family struggled to make ends meet, and getting them through high school was not easy. The brothers were frequently kicked out of school for lack of fees. Quote, when Charles was admitted to Nyeri High, I was worried because we did not have the money. We decided to sell our only cow and then borrow from neighbors and friends, end quote, she said. Whenever her sons were sent home for school fees, their mother would walk 40 kilometers from the village to the school to plead for them to be readmitted. Quote, it was a struggle, walking for close to 6 hours, but my boys were very intelligent and I knew I had to do everything possible to give them the best education possible, end quote. Their mother's perseverance paid off and both brothers successfully completed high school. Charles completed his Kenya Secondary Examination in 2007, scoring straight A's in all subjects. He was admitted to JKUAT to study agricultural engineering. His brother Halford had also completed high school with similarly high grades and went on to complete university as well. Their father lamented that since graduating from university, neither of their sons had been able to secure formal employment and had ventured into independent, short-term contracts. It is not clear exactly how the brothers earned a living before the heist, but their father said that they appeared to do fairly well for themselves. However, their parents wished they would find stable employment.
And police in Thika are following every lead that might help them solve the well-calculated bank heist that left Kenya Commercial Bank 50 million shillings less. The police are still quizzing three people arrested yesterday after the bank reported the incident. The robbery was carried out through a 30-meter underground tunnel that led to the bank's strong room.
On 25th November 2017, residents of Joyland Estate, Juja, awoke to chaos as numerous police officers swarmed into their neighborhood. It was 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, an unusual time for any sort of police activity, and residents curiously peeked out of their windows, waiting to see what the emergency could be. A Boda Boda rider who was interviewed at the scene said, quote, "We saw several private cars come and camp near one house. From the look of things, they seemed to be either Flying Squad or CID officers. At first, we did not know who they were and what they wanted, but a few minutes later, we saw even more police cars arrive. And that is when we heard that the money that was stolen from a bank in Thika had been found," end quote. There is no information on exactly how the police tracked down the trio, but a few theories emerged online. One theory on Twitter was that police had studied the mystery woman's Twitter post and used the data in it to track her down, and that she had then led police to the location of the money. Another theory reported that the three suspects had been arrested at a place called Marurui in Kasarani after angry neighbors, sick of their loud and lavish house parties, reported them to police. Yet another media outlet said that the suspects were arrested in Marurui and that they themselves had led police to the house in Juja where the money was stored. Police, led by Thika OCPD Willie Simba and the DCI boss Linus Owango, remained tight-lipped about the circumstances surrounding the suspect's arrest and recovery of the cash and have not discussed it in detail to this day. The circumstances didn't exactly matter. They had been caught. Journalists tracked down the landlord of the Joyland Estate House, who confirmed that the police had stormed the house on Saturday morning. When asked who lived in the house, the landlord said that on Wednesday, 22nd November, 2 days after the heist, a woman had wandered into the neighborhood looking for a rental property. She had viewed his house, after which she requested the landlord's payment details and quickly deposited 21,000 shillings, 1 month's rent, into his account. She immediately provided the banking slip to the caretaker as proof of payment and took the house keys. She seemed in a hurry to move in. The transaction had been completed only days before, and he had not yet followed up to confirm if she had moved in yet. The landlord also said, quote, "When they raided the house, they found a lot of money, which they counted for 3 hours. They did not arrest anyone on the spot, as there was no one in the house, but they just went away with the money," end quote. A tenant in the building who sought anonymity confirmed that it was indeed true that some money had been found in the house by the police. Quote, "We saw the police carry the money from the house. As far as I know, the house was rented by a woman who was new in the building. There were 3 bags of money, and I saw the police put it in some of the vehicles which were parked outside," end quote.
Three men suspected to be behind the 50 million shilling heist at KCB Thika branch have been arraigned in a Thika court to answer to robbery charges. Police arrested the suspects at Joyland Estate in Juja on Saturday, where they also found 17.1 million shillings in one of the houses.
Once counted and collected, the money was transferred to KCB headquarters Nairobi for safekeeping. The police stated that they had recovered portions of the money in various currencies and reported the money found at Joyland Estate in various denominations. 17,135,000 Kenya shillings. 1,311 US dollars. 340 British pounds. 5 Canadian dollars. 85 Australian dollars. 46,000 Tanzania shillings. 40 South African rand. And 20,000 Ugandan shillings. But what happened to the rest of it? Kenyans were captivated by the ingenuity and audacity displayed by the trio, and media outlets struggled to keep up with the audience's need to know more. They wanted to know everything about the three men, who had evoked a sense of awe and admiration in most Kenyans. Kenyan journalist Dennis Onsarigo, who was working on a news story about the case, posted on Twitter, quote, "Reconstructing the Thika bank heist, and you must give it to the robbers, the precision, the resilience, and the time they took, while wearing oxygen masks, to gain access to the bank vault, it's breathtaking," end quote. This overwhelming curiosity led Nation Media to Karura Village in Mathira, Nyeri County, where they interviewed Titus Murakaru Githui, Halford and Charles' father, who was a farmer and retired barber in the area. In the interview, they asked Mr. Githui how he felt when he found out what his sons had done. He said that, although he does not approve of crime, he was not surprised that his children had allegedly been involved in the robbery. He cited the multi-billion shilling National Youth Service and Health Ministry scandals, saying they could have inspired his sons and numerous other young people to engage in theft. Quote, "The perpetrators of these scandals got away with it. We know them, and they are still at large. How do you tell your children not to do these things when senior government officials engage in blatant theft and get away with it?" End quote. He went on to say, quote, "We raised our children in a Christian way and moral uprightness, but when they go out there, they hear of people carrying money in sacks and nothing happens to them. What prevents them from engaging in that kind of vice if they can also get away with it?" End quote. On November 27, 2017, Halford, Charles, and Julius appeared before Chief Magistrate Teresa Murigi over the theft of more than 50 million shillings from KCB Thika branch. Shem Karani, the property caretaker at the Thika city-friendly stalls, appeared in court alongside the three primary suspects charged with crimes related to the robbery. As the sole custodian of the keys to the main gate, Shem was the only person who could have granted the trio access to the parking area where they had regularly loaded their cartons of soil in and out of their waiting vehicles. The prosecution presented their case that between November 18th and November 20th, the suspects and their accomplice entered KCB Thika through an underground tunnel and stole several bundles of cash. They were also charged with handling stolen property after they were found in possession of 200 Kenya national IDs, 1,439 SIM cards, 7 computer CPUs, and 305 Telecommunications Authority cards. The items are suspected to have been stolen. The suspects denied all the charges and pleaded not guilty. Their case would have to go to a full trial. Their lawyer, Zaki Odegi, pleaded with the court for lenient bail and bond terms while they awaited hearing dates. Quote, "Bails and bonds are constitutional rights, and my clients are no exception. They were arrested in their house in Thika on Saturday and have been in police custody for the whole weekend," end quote. The prosecution, led by State Counsel Stella Oyagi, asked the court to have the suspects detained on grounds that they were likely to interfere with the case if released, and they were very likely to flee. Ms. Oyagi said reliable reports indicated that before their arrest, the three men were planning to leave the country. In her ruling, Chief Magistrate Murigi said the prosecution did not give enough evidence to support their claims that the three men were planning to leave the country. The suspects were released on bond of 4 million shillings each. The case was adjourned to November 30, 2017, to allow the prosecution time to obtain more evidence directly connecting the suspects to their alleged crimes. On November 30, 2017, the three suspects appeared before Thika Chief Magistrate J.M. Mangea, led by State Counsel Ms. Maundu. The prosecution stated that they had located 30 witnesses who were ready to testify and provide evidence in the case. The defense applied for an adjournment of the case, claiming that the prosecution had not yet provided them with all the documents to be used in the case, including soil analysis reports from the government chemist, charge sheets, and various banking documentation. The defense argued that this would unfairly prejudice the accused, as they would not have enough information to allow them to prepare an adequate defense. The chief magistrate ordered the prosecution to serve the defense with all requisite documents prior to the hearing date, and the hearing was set for July 15th, July 17th, and July 18th of 2018. It is unclear if this case was stalled by COVID delays, legal technicalities, or lack of sufficient evidence, as originally claimed by the defense, but there has been no recent action on the case. In fact, nothing appears to have progressed since 2018. However, this case continues to be widely discussed and examined by various media and social media outlets. Halford, Charles, and Julius are not the first to attempt this type of crime, and they certainly won't be the last. At one point, bank heists and bank robberies in Kenya were a fairly frequent crime, occurring almost every other year. However, with major improvements in technology, surveillance, and security, they are not as common in Kenya as they used to be. In January 1997, a man named Charles Omondi disguised himself as a Citibank employee and walked into Kenya Air Freight Handling Limited offices at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, where he collected a parcel with foreign currency that was estimated to be worth 54 million shillings. Back then, the bank would order foreign currency from abroad, and it would be sent in the form of a parcel, after which an employee of the bank would pick it up from the airport after it arrived in the country. No one knows how Omondi knew about the parcel, but he had documentation that he used to convince the freight company to hand him the cash. He later disappeared, prompting security agencies to issue a 1 million shilling reward for anyone with information that could lead to his arrest. He was later arrested in Buruburu, with reports indicating that he had initially fled to Tanzania. Omondi was convicted and sentenced, but was later released in 2002 through a presidential pardon. In 1999, a group of armed robbers committed one of the strangest and most hilarious heists in the country's history. They invaded Mashrek Bank that was located at ICEA building along Kenyatta Avenue and walked away with around 500,000 shillings, which was a huge sum of money at the time. This robbery was remembered as hilarious because while robbing the bank, the men sang a common Christian tithing song. It goes like this: Toa ndugu toa dada ulicho nacho wewe. Witnesses reported that they sang the song continuously throughout the robbery. In January 2012, Barclays Bank Isili branch lost around 54 million shillings after it was robbed by a group of three men. The robbery happened on a weekend where it is suspected that 34 million shillings was stolen on the first day of the robbery and 19 million on day two. Police suspected that this robbery was an inside job and arrested over 10 suspects. Some of the money was recovered by the police. At the height of media interest in the Thika bank heist, comedian and late-night TV host Dr. Kingori covered the robbery extensively on his show.
Very difficult to know how Kenyans truly feel about the Thika incident, because most people seem to be praising the thieves for their creativity. Kenyans appreciate a good robbery. If you steal money, good money, you could even end up as an elected leader. Kila mtu anajua hiyo. Lakini jaribu kuiba kuku ndio utajua this is the land of nyama choma.
On this episode, which aired 1 week after the robbery, Dr. Kingori could not have picked a better guest, a Kenyan who can be described, among other things, as a subject matter expert on the topic of bank heists and bank robberies.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. I'm Dr. Kingori. Our subject on the show tonight is we are talking about your story, I think. Iko na story nyeti sana tuongelea. And we got the perfect guest for this show, John Keriamiti. And interestingly, our last guest pia alikuwa mgeni wa kamiti. And, but alikuwa short time. This, our guest tonight, Leo pia, was a guest of state for the longest time. And he has a very interesting story to tell. John Keriamiti, ladies and gentlemen. Karibu.
John Keriamiti is a Kenyan writer who is best known for his 1985 crime novel, My Life in Crime. Keriamiti was a real-life criminal in Kenya during the 1960s and 1970s in the wake of the country's independence. At one point, he was the leader of a notorious gang of bank robbers and became the most wanted man in Nairobi. He evaded the Kenya police for all the crimes he committed and was relentlessly hunted down until his arrest in November 1970. He was sentenced to 20 years for his crimes and wrote his famous and most successful book while he was in prison. Keriamiti spoke about bank robberies as a concept.
Yes, I remember complaining to my friends.
Complaining?
Yes, I complain because you don't go lie outside the bank for 3 hours waiting for someone to bring money.
Yes.
Ajaku bank, uh-huh. Where you can always move inside and get what there is.
When asked if the Thika bank heist was an inside job, Kiriamiti said there was simply no way the three men could have correctly guessed the exact location of the bank vault without some form of assistance. Someone on the inside must have helped them out.
And
inside the job.
Exactly, this is what I was going to tell you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Inside information.
Yes.
Now, so I see inside, yes, just as a person who works there. Kila Wakati needs, yes, inside information. For instance, they are not angels kujua ati safe iko mahali hapa. Lazima iwe kuna mtu huko ndani katikati aliwaelezea. Na hata wakati wanaenda kupurchase kuchukua hiyo nyumba next.
Yes.
Kuna mtu aliwa device. This is the right place because the safe is 100 degrees kutoka kama 90 degrees or whatever degrees. If for instance,
yes,
the manager of the bank anaweza kuwa involved.
Yes.
And I want you to hear this.
Yes.
Hata wakati wetu najua mnaambiwa we have this amount of money. The manager tells you, or even a person who is directly connected with the money.
Yes.
Akwambia hapa tutakuwa na pesa kiasi fulani. So you guys come and lakini when you look at the newspaper the following day,
yes,
unakuta pesa zile zinasemekana zilibiwa ni 3 times as much. So what happens here is the manager kwanza ananyakua zake.
Oh.
Aki,
okay,
anaficha.
Yes.
Mukiraid the place, sasa anaenda kuzitumia.
In summary, a subject matter expert on the topic of bank robbery had formed the view that the Thika bank heist was successful due to some help from the inside. Numerous threads on the case popped up on Reddit. One user wrote, quote, "I was on judicial attachment in a court that handled the case. One day, the recovered money was brought to be counted. There was 11 million. I wonder what happened to the rest," end quote. A second Reddit user commented, quote, "Moral of the story, if you steal, steal big, and then get caught and find a great lawyer who will use all manner of delay tactics to delay the case. Police officers rarely finish 5 years in a station or department, so when the time is right, pay the investigating officer and he or she stops coming to court and the case is dismissed for warrant of prosecution. Then you can retire. Besides, the money is insured," end quote. A third one stated, quote, "Not to burst your bubble, but the amounts reported were way off. Sources close to the robbers say that the day the robbery took place, the vault had way more money, and that was supposed to be picked up and distributed to other branches. Their info was solid, and as we speak, the suspects are all out on bond. They are living large. They have an event company based out of, and trust me, they all drive big cars," end quote. In his interview with Dr. Kingori, John Kiriamiti made a rather hilarious observation. When babies are born and parents go to the nursery to see their baby for the first time, there is no maternity ward for parents who have received professors, no separate maternity ward for parents who have received doctors, and no separate ward for the parents who have received bank robbers or chicken thieves. There is no such thing. All children are born innocent and pure, but as we grow up, we all have that thing inside of us. We are all capable of crime," end quote. Even the most brilliant minds, like Halford, Charles, and Julius, fueled by ambition or circumstance, can sway towards criminality when faced with perceived injustices or temptations of power. While some may possess stronger moral fortitude, the potential for criminal behavior can be activated by various factors and influences, like movies, but definitely not podcasts, which just told you in detail how the Thika bank heist went down.
dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo.
True Crime Kenya is produced by Petra Media. Research, writing, and editing by DM Noor. Narrated by DM Noor. Theme song by Just a Band. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.
Dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo,
dunia ina mambo sana.
Dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo,
dunia ina mambo bana.
Dunia ina mambo, dunia ina mambo,
dunia ina mambo.